And there goes the last DJ, who plays what he wants to play and says what he wants to say. Hey, hey, hey. And there goes your feet.
8:40 in the morning and 44 degrees outside the AM 1490 studios, heading for a high today of 58.
And here we've got a studio full of people. We've got Cole Kendrick, his dad Brian's just lurking in the background, and David Kratzer. They're here to talk about the upcoming Supercomputer Challenge. Good morning. Thanks for coming, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, Cole, you're sort of the star of the program this morning. Are you supposed to be in class?
No, it's spring
okay.
break.
That's spring break. Okay, okay. I thought maybe you got a, you know, special chance. So let's begin with a little background. I guess, David, that's you. How many years has the challenge been going on?
This is its 23rd year. It started in 1990.
Mm-hmm. And you were here to talk about it before it started. Are you feeling like you had a really good year?
Yes. A lot of students have done a lot of work, and we're looking forward to seeing that work being presented next Monday at the Los Alamos Laboratory.
Ah, and how do you do that? Is it in the theater?
We actually have the students come and present their projects in the study center, in the library, mm-hmm. in amongst the stacks, any place that we can gather about eight people, because the teams are 1 to 5 students, and we have 3 or 4 judges that will evaluate their projects. And that goes on every half an hour from 8:30 to noon, and the students make their presentation, and then they take their poster up to the North Gallery to display, and then they get to go on tours of the laboratory for the rest of the day.
Mm-hmm.
There's two kinds of presentations. The final report from their year's work has already been submitted. That was due the first Wednesday of April. And right now we have our finalist judges looking over all of those reports. And we'll have a conference call next Wednesday of the judges. And they will select, out of the 60 or so projects that were submitted, they will select the top half dozen or so as first round finalists. And they will have formal presentations to this panel of a dozen judges on Monday morning, and that'll hopefully be broadcast over the lab's view it system so that anyone with a computer at the laboratory can watch the finalist presentations. And then the other 55-ish teams will present during this expo and be judged, and at lunchtime those expo judges, which there's about 30 of them, they will caucus and select another about half dozen to be second round finalists, and they will present to the finalist panel in the afternoon on Monday afternoon. Mm-hmm. So it's a real exciting day.
Interesting. Now, I'm jumping a little bit. Before we went on the air, we were talking about how you discover if you do the same project for both the science fair and the supercomputing challenge that you actually get more feedback, so you're able to refine your presentation even more. So, Cole, can you talk a little bit about that?
You start off with the county fair, and so mm-hmm. You present your project to local
as a
judges.
Science fair.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and if you move on to regionals, you can present it there in March, and then this past weekend was the state science fair. So you have multiple opportunities to sort of get feedback about your project and what you need to go, like what direction you need to move, and sort of help you plan for like future competitions,
mm-hmm.
I guess.
Now, and you were the winner at these different competitions, so you're going to international. But is this your first time you're getting judged on the computer aspect of it?
No, I've participated in the Supercomputing Challenge in the past, and so mm-hmm. I guess it's good since they are interested in your project, and they also know computers and stuff, so they know like what's behind your project and how or what it took to make it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the science fair is mainly interested in the results and not so much the computing aspect of it.
Ah, okay, interesting. Now, David, one of the things that's part of the Supercomputing Challenge is the participants all get to tour the lab. So this is your
yes.
chance to do a plug for volunteers.
That's right. I still need about 30 escorts from laboratory employees who have a clearance so that they can take them, because the students do get to go see the actual supercomputers that the laboratory uses. And it's interesting, I actually got a phone call yesterday from a teacher in Albuquerque who's going to be part of our Summer Teacher Institute. We have a program to try to help teachers be better Supercomputing Challenge participants, sponsors. And she was all worried that we were decommissioning Roadrunner. And were they going to cancel? Are they going to cancel the Supercomputing Challenge? And I assured her that no, we have more than one supercomputer, and a supercomputer only lasts for about 5 years. That's what Roadrunner did, and now it's too expensive to run. We can do better. When the program started back in 1990, the students were using the same Cray XMP as the laboratory scientists. But as desktops, or as computers have gotten better, the laptop you have in front of you is more powerful than that computer of 1990. So the students don't necessarily need to use supercomputers anymore to solve their projects. But Cole is one student that has used a supercomputer this year, one of the laboratory's unclassified supercomputers.
Mm-hmm. And so, Cole, we were talking about this also. To me, it's kind of a mystery why you need a supercomputer. And I was asking you about how do you write the programming so that you're taking advantage of all the multiple processors at once that the supercomputer offers.
Yeah, well, for programming for a supercomputer, you have to keep in mind that you have multiple different processors. I used about 512 mainly for my computations.
Which would be like if I had my laptop connected to, a quarter of that, or so,
yeah.
125 other people. We all had our laptops connected together.
Yeah, so you have to write your program in mind to use all those. If you mm-hmm. use a standard program, then it'll just use one processor. So you want to use MPI, which is a message passing interface, which can utilize all those 512. And a supercomputer is necessary for my project, since at the beginning of the year I was focusing on in-body interactions.
Wait, say that again, inter-body interactions.
Yeah. Or in-body.
In-body
and for a whole number.
Okay.
Lots.
Yes, so I was using a million particles, and each one computed the gravitational force with every other particle, and so that was very computational intensive. And that required me to use a supercomputer.
Mm-hmm. And how did you come up with this whole concept of its gap formation in Saturn's rings?
Yes.
So how did you come up with that concept?
Well, I've been interested in astronomy for a while, and so I was interested in Saturn's rings, and you don't really know much about them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was really intrigued if I could form gaps with my simulation and see if they actually were realistic or not.
Mm-hmm. David?
Well, yeah, I have a question, and this is kind of off the wall, but of course it's coming from me. maybe David can answer this one. Do we run into security issues with some of these kids' experiments?
No. they are using unclassified resources.
But they might be going into some realm that... Wow, it just blows my mind that this kid here is talking about Saturn's rings and the subatomic particles that goes around in there, and wow.
Feeling a little stupid.
No,
what you mean.
We want to encourage their imagination and their innovation.
Well, and here's a little bit of an aside, but David, you mentioned that the very first supercomputing challenge was on Saturn's rings. How did it compare to what Cole's doing?
I haven't gone back and looked at that report for a long time, but yes, the winners of the 1990 challenge used a CM5, which was a fantastic supercomputer of 1990,
mm-hmm.
and they analyzed the rings of Saturn, but I haven't looked at that report for 20 years, so I don't remember what it's like.
Well, they analyzed the rings, and Cole, you're looking at the gaps, so
yes.
That's a lot more specific.
Yeah, like what causes them
and,
to form and stuff.
How did you were talking about using photos to verify some of your findings?
Yes, I was comparing my results to theoretical equations as well as an actual photo from the Cassini spacecraft, which is orbiting Saturn,
mm-hmm.
to 'cause they can get a really high detailed picture of what the gaps are and
mm-hmm.
where they are. And so I was able to compare my simulation to that picture.
That must have been pretty exciting to see that they were similar.
Yes, it was.
It's like it's working.
Yeah. It's always
that's
good to know.
That's pretty neat. Now, you last year were a winner with dark matter.
Yes. For the past 2 years, I started off in 7th grade doing a computer simulation of dark matter effects on galaxy rotation, and then in 8th grade I did a continuation with dark matter effects on galaxy collisions.
Mm-hmm. Do you think there's any connection between gaps and dark matter?
No.
Okay, just had to ask. So the supercomputing challenge is, a lot of people participate in that, don't they, David?
Right. We began the year with about 350 students or so, and it looks like there will be about 200 have made it through the program, and we'll about 60 teams will be here. Some of them arrive Sunday, the others arrive Monday, and we do the expo on Monday and tour the laboratory, and then on Tuesday morning we have an award ceremony that takes like 2.5-3 hours to give away all the awards.
They're big awards, right? It's not just a little trophy.
Well, first place gets $1,000, and second place $500, and We also have scholarships for seniors. That's on the order of $40,000 from mm-hmm. several different contributors that want to encourage students to go on to further their education. And last year, of the 55-ish, 60 teams, I think 23 teams received some kind of award at the award ceremony. So we have a lot of different prizes to give away, and we mm-hmm. have a good time.
And encourage people to, you know, the young folks to continue pursuing this.
Yeah.
60 teams. Now, they're not all from Los Alamos, so how far-reaching does this go across all four corners, across the nation?
Right now, we're mainly New Mexico, from Las Cruces to Taos to Albuquerque and Artesia, Melrose, all over the state. We are working on a project to get some funding to package the challenge so that we could take it national. Since we have a model that's working, that has been working for 23 years, we refine it each year, but we want to package it so it can be replicated other places.
So, mm-hmm. yeah, that was going to be my next question. Are there other laboratories looking at doing this, like Livermore,
California friends.
Yeah, and so forth, or Tennessee or whatnot.
Yes, there are some other kind of similar programs out there. Utah actually has a computing challenge, but they are more hardware-based. They actually build a machine and run MPI on it, the message passing interface that Cole was talking about.
You know, one thing I've heard about at the lab is, and this goes back to the early 90s, they were talking about trying to interconnect different laboratories through the computer. That would be kind of interesting to get the students connecting to people in other parts of the country on projects as well.
Yes. Usually a team is from one school, but that doesn't have to be the case. We have had teams in the past that are from multiple schools, and they can work together on weekends or over Skype and email, and the project doesn't have to be a group of local people. But we do try to encourage teamwork, because in the real world, when you're talking about software development, nobody writes it in a vacuum. I mean, mm-hmm. the Facebook software, you know, one person did not write that.
Mm-hmm. Cole, do you have any creative ideas of where you might go with your computing skills?
Well,
it's going to be boring to not be able to use the supercomputer all the time.
Well, lately I've been doing without the supercomputer. Me and my project not require it as much. So, well, I guess in the future I'm going to college, plan to, and then maybe study computer science or astrophysics, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And where might that be? What grade are you in?
I'm a freshman.
So he's got a lot of time to think about it.
Not sure yet.
He's got to go for one of those $40,000 scholarships when he's a senior.
Nobody's offered you a spot at their university yet?
Not yet.
Yeah, really. Just jump right in there. Okay, so once again, the schedule of the Supercomputing Challenge, it starts in the fall when the teams start to gather, and they have some check-in points during the year, don't they?
Right. At the beginning of the year, they put in a proposal about what they're going to do, and we have a kickoff conference, and they get to meet with a scientist to go over that project and try to figure out what they need to do in the next 8 months. And then in December, an interim report is due, mm-hmm. a milestone for them to meet and to keep them on track, and we want to see what they have done.
And how do you match up the scientists to the projects?
At the kickoff, we just have a large group of scientists that are there, and we mm-hmm. just kind of spread people around a little bit with a little bit of topic coordination.
Mm-hmm.
And then in February, they present their projects to a panel of judges, three or four judges at eight different places around the state, so that they just have to travel locally. And they get ideas, and they get to practice their public speaking skills in preparation for then submitting their final report the first Wednesday of April, and then coming to the laboratory and doing their oral presentation
mm-hmm.
and the culmination of the year.
Okay, Cole, what's the thing that makes you the most nervous in all these different, both the science and the computer challenges?
Radio station interviews.
Well, presenting your project can be kind of nerve-wracking, I guess, but it's actually not too bad once you are there and you're actually talking about it, so.
Now, we had a mention on the news this morning about Stephen Hawking. What if he showed up at one of these competitions? Would you be nervous?
I don't know. I'd be kind of surprised.
Yeah, I'd be surprised too. But so I'm thinking if you know, certain levels, if there's scientists that you know about and you really admire, if that makes you more nervous than when you don't know who the person is that's looking at your work.
Oh, yeah, you can. I guess the same panel has kind of been there over the years, so I've given my presentations to them in the past, so,
he's familiar with the finalist judges are fairly stable. But I got to tell you, this year we have four new finalist judges out of the 12. Some new blood coming in. But it's also, you're related to sports teams. Would you practice all week and not want to have a competition on the weekend? You know, this is the, all right, I'm ready for it now. This is going to be great. I'm going to show off.
So another big thing in the computer world at the high school is robotics. Have you had any interaction with the robotics?
No, I haven't. Although next year I'm taking robotics 1 and 2.
I'm just imagining. So. Give you a supercomputer and robotics skills, and boy, you could have a really interesting project coming out of that.
And there's quite a diverse amount of projects. The challenge website is supercomputingchallenge.org, and there's a list of all the finalist reports because we post them there. That's the way the judges actually look at them. And just reading down some of the titles, the branching process of snow crystals, here comes the sun, or is it the wind, talking about energy, low flow to flow rider, a vehicle aerodynamics and aero modeling, computer simulation of Saturn ring structure. Oh, that's Coles. head tracking with your controlling your computer with your head, the effects of immigration on the American economy, electric wind shock, skin cancer, it's probably too late, emergency egress in case of fire, prairie dogs and blackfoot ferrets, all sorts of different topics that are interest to the students themselves.
And then they find a research project that they
How
need
can
a computer
they
to really
use a computer to solve a problem to do a simulation, to do the what ifs.
Very interesting. So Cole, when you came up with the Saturn for this year, did you have other ideas too that you haven't had a chance to pursue yet? Or are they classified?
No, I'm I don't know, I'm kind of focusing on Saturn's rings right now, and then I guess over the summer I'll start thinking about what to do next year and that sort of stuff. I haven't put much thought into future projects.
So how did you come up with the idea of Saturn's rings? How big of a telescope do you have at home?
I think it's 12-inch.
I knew he
did. Wow.
Yes, before we went on the air, his dad, Brian, is here too, and we were talking about that. Brian's really interested in astronomy, so Cole's been watching the stars his whole life.
Yeah, that's basically how I got interested into it.
Okay, well, is there anything else either of you would like to share this morning? Need volunteers.
Yeah.
For escorts.
It's really nice to work with a program where people love helping out and volunteering. When I needed the 30 judges, I sent out an email message. Within a couple hours, I had 10, and within 8 days, I had 25 of the 30. And even yesterday, I got an email saying, I'm in as a judge, but my friend wants to do it too. Can they come? And I said, yep, we'll make arrangements. And I expect that the volunteers will come out of the woodwork this next week
to
escort.
I haven't asked you how much of this is accessible to the non-lab public.
We've gone through the security paperwork, so the study center will be an open location on Monday so that anyone can come look at the posters. They'll be on display all afternoon in the study center upstairs in the North Gallery. Of course, our website has got all the information on it, supercomputingchallenge.org. I'd invite you to the award ceremony Tuesday morning, but we're in a building that holds about 280, and we expect about 260, so it's going to be a crowd. But it's going to be a fun crowd. And the director of the laboratory is actually going to be able to be there to help give out the top awards.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
Okay,
cool.
Great.
Mr. McMillan.
Yes.
So one last question in the minute and a half I have left there, Cole. What's your hardest subject in school?
He's thinking. That means nothing's really too hard.
Probably math. I'd say
math.
Okay, and the math is important.
Something like I figured it'd be English or something like that. It seems to be so,
because
science oriented.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay. Well, thanks so much for joining us, Cole Kendrick and David Kratzer, Supercomputing Challenge.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.